Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti.
I like a nice cup of tea in the morning, for to start the day, you see. And at 11:30, well, my idea of heaven is a nice cup of tea. I like a nice cup of tea with my dinner, and a nice cup of tea with my tea. And when it's time for bed, there's a lot to be said for a nice cup of tea. They say it's not nutritious, but darn it, it's delicious, and that's all that matters to me. It turns your meat to leather. Well, let's all die together. The one drink in paradise is tea.
I like a nice cup of tea in the morning, for to start the day, you see. And at 11:30, well, my idea of heaven is a nice cup of tea. I like a nice cup of tea with my dinner, and a nice cup of tea with my tea. And when it's time for bed, there's a lot to be said for a nice cup of tea.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. I'm Keith Parent. Very nice to have you with me today. Well, last week on the show, I mentioned that we were going to schedule part one of our four-part docudrama series, Tales of Dutch Formosa. We've postponed it three times already, and we have to postpone it again. That's because we found out on June 25th that Bruce Parsons, who we interviewed in April, had passed away June 24th at age 86. He had suffered a fall not too long before he passed away and never recovered. So today's program, we're going to bring you again that interview that we did with Bruce. It also includes segments that we didn't use the first time. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So today's program is a tribute to Bruce Parsons. Now, there's no need to be sad. Bruce certainly loved life, then had a very, very interesting career. So we want to make this program as uplifting as possible. So to begin, here's Ray Anthony and So Wonderful.
Yeah.
Ray Anthony and his big band with So Wonderful, beginning today's edition of Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Bruce Parsons, who we interviewed back in April, passed away June 24th at age 86. He would have been 87 in a few weeks' time. Before his radio career, he actually was a drummer, and a big band drummer and jazz drummer, and had a big love for music. But he actually didn't just have a love for music, he had a love for life in general. There's a number of people out there that might, well, remember him from Parsons Penthouse that was on Radio Nederland for many years, including a program called What's New and many other things. At Radio Netherlands, he interviewed many celebrities that were visiting the Netherlands. One actor, comedian, singer, all-around entertainer he interviewed a number of times was Danny Kaye.
Danny Kaye, His Excellency Mr. Luntz, holds the strings of the purse containing a certain amount of money, this year's contribution from the Netherlands to UNICEF. By chance, have you been given any idea how large a sum this might be?
No, I haven't any idea at all.
Perhaps they're keeping it a secret?
No, it isn't that at all. The point is that I have very little to do with the money-raising part of UNICEF.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Mr. Luntz is much more familiar with that than I am. I merely bring back information to the people of my country and other countries just to explain to them what UNICEF is doing. But as far as raising money is concerned, I don't do that. Mr. Labouisse, who you will have a little chat with,
uh-huh.
And formerly Mr. Pate, you remember Mr.
Pate. Yes, Robert.
And they're the fellow who tried to untie the purse strings of the various countries. But I'm really a public information officer, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, Your Excellency, since Danny Kaye is UNICEF's ambassador at large, and considering the fact that he's here right at this moment, would you care to mention something about money, about possibly how much this purse contains?
Bruce Parsons on one of his many interviews with entertainer Danny Kaye. Now, how do people get started in radio? Well, this, of course, is a question that I always like to ask people who have, well, they've been around for a while. And, of course, with Bruce Parsons, it was no different. So the first question that I put to him on our interview sessions was, how did he get involved at Radio Nederland?
Oh, I can tell that very, very quickly. I was in between gigs, in between jobs in our business of broadcasting, and I decided to whip a letter together and send it out to the gentleman who was head of the English department, saying that do you by chance need someone, another voice from overseas? And to make a long story short, he said, I'll send you tickets and you can fly over as soon as possible. I mean, that was really nice. And Van Dulken was his name. I believe he's passed along, but it was a very nice guy, a great boss, and I joined the English department, and that's the way it all started.
So when you were at Radio Netherlands, were you one of these, what I like to call an all-purpose announcer, where one minute you're reading news, the next minute you're doing a music program, the next minute you're doing a documentary, the next minute you're doing an interview, the next minute you're reading some jingles? Were you doing everything?
Yes, exactly. And after all that's done, then they rush you out to a radio truck, and off you go all over Holland interviewing people you don't know anything about, and you have to sort of get it out of these people, mayors and people that are very well known in Holland. And so there's no end to what you have to do, and you actually do a lot of work in the course of one work day, and you have to. And then on top of that, you have to begin to learn the Dutch language. And I realized that. And what I did slowly was listen to Dutch radio, Dutch television, and so forth, and finally picked up little words here and there. And finally, I got to a point, maybe after a year, I got to the point where I could actually speak what I call is jungle Dutch. And what makes it jungly is the fact that when I would go out to, say, a pub, and have a drink, and I didn't know anybody at the pub. But I was sitting with people all along, you know, 28 chairs in total, you know, whatever you call bar chairs, and I would say things like, I would say something in Dutch, in my jungle Dutch, and immediately the whole bunch of people at the bar would start roaring with laughter. And I thought, what's the matter with these people? I mean, because I would say things like, "Hoe gaat het met jou?" The Spock is rock. Anyway, funny things that I thought were sort of clever. And I when I walked out of the bar, we're still laughing, and I thought, "Hey, this is something." I mean, but all kidding aside, I did get to the point where I could speak enough to understand that they understood me. And to wrap this part of your question up, I did my best to show that I'm not really a Dutchman, but that I appreciate their language because it's a very interesting language.
Now, you had, of course, worked in radio before you ended up at Radio Netherlands. Was there any difference, let's say, in the way that Radio Netherlands, what it was like working in Radio Netherlands, say, compared to the United States? What were some of the differences that you noticed?
Well, it's a little hard to notice these differences because being in the English department, I wasn't really, when I'm on the air, I wasn't really particularly concerned about the Dutch language. And I certainly wouldn't come on with my jungle Dutch on the air. I mean, then they'd really think I was nuts. But anyway, I got to the point where I felt pretty comfortable with my jungle Dutch. And the thing is, when you're talking jungle Dutch, you're automatically going to get laughter. I mean, it has to come because they know darn well I'm not originally a Dutchman, so they just howl, you know. That's the way it is. And by the way, changing the subject for a moment, I noticed there's one interesting thing about the Dutch that maybe people aren't aware of. But I was living in Utrecht for quite a while, and that's one of the big Dutch cities, and about I guess some 20 miles from Hilversum. And I need to get this straight now because I don't want to go off the deep end. What was I talking about?
You were going to say something interesting about the Dutch.
Oh, yeah. In the evening, on the streets in the area where I was living, in Utrecht, you can walk by because the Dutch don't close their windows. They're wide open at night. So you can walk by. You can see what people are eating or what's going on, you know. So I found that to be very interesting because over here we shut ourselves up so tight at night that it's a secret no matter what other people might think.
Yes, I know. I know exactly what you mean on that one. Now, how long did you spend at Radio Netherlands?
Approximately 14 years. I went over in a 2-year contract, and I was delighted because I've been to Europe numerous times, but never to go to work there. Well, with the exception of the earlier situation I had when I worked for the Deutsche Welle, and that was only a 2-year thing, and I felt after 2 years that I wasn't going to go very far because I wasn't really picking up the language, and so that's when I returned to the USA. So those are the two international outfits that I worked for in Europe.
What was it like when you were at Radio Netherlands? Of course, there were a lot of well-known voices that were still there. When you started at Radio Netherlands, Eddie Starts was still doing Happy Station. And
I
then,
remember Eddie Starts. I did meet him.
Uh-huh. What was that and, like? Tom has some very funny stories about that.
Well, I know. I actually still can hear his voice in a way because he was very... He was a broadcaster, definitely, and yet he was more conservative, in my opinion, and he was really a start for Tom Meyer, because Tom filled in. I guess it was right after the other chap must have retired or something. I'm not sure. I was never in close touch with him, but I did meet him and talk to him a couple of times.
You know, the last time we spoke, there was one name that came up in the conversation, somebody that you had a fondness for, and so do I, and that was the late Pete Myers.
Oh, I'll tell you, Pete Myers was one of the most gorgeous people I've ever met in my life. He was, of course, overseas an awful lot, got caught in all kinds of problems with people fighting over there in the area where he was living. And he told stories. He told one story that I thought was so great because these people that were, I don't know what you classify them as, but they were people that were had guns and were fighting a lot around where he was living.
He was in Lebanon for many years.
Lebanon, right. You got it. And he had an apartment pretty high up, but it was getting very difficult for all the people in that area because these people that were fighting each other were making a terrible noise with guns and so forth. And Pete said to me, he said, "I'm going to do something that's going to stop this fighting tonight if it's the last thing I do." And I listened carefully, and he said, I got my hi-fi system together. And I took it up on the roof of the building where I was working. I had a long wire for electricity. And I put on a song that was a huge orchestra that was playing the most wildest songs you ever heard in your life. So loud. And that's what he did. He put it up there and he started playing it about 10 o'clock at night. And within a few minutes, it quieted down so quickly because these people heard it and who were busy firing guns, and they didn't know where this noise was coming from. So they sort of dropped their guns for a while to figure out what's going on, where are we? And that was Pete's way of keeping people quiet when he wanted to go to sleep.
That's
a real story.
I know. I remember him telling me the same thing, and I went, you know... Yeah, but you know what? He's the only one, I think, who could get away with something like that.
Oh, yeah, he could. He had such an imagination that it's hard to believe it. He was with the BBC for quite a while. That's where I met Pete. And he was a great speaker, a tremendous broadcaster, and I always felt sort of behind him in a way because he was so clever in what he did and the way he wrote various things that he used in his programming. And finally, we were so lucky to get Pete, who came over to us to stay. And he did for about a year or two, maybe 2 years before. And then I found out that he had died. We all found that out. And we were all very sorry for this guy because we lost a great man.
Now, a moment ago, you mentioned that you spent some time at Radio Deutsche Welle. This is when they were in Cologne. Now they're based in Bonn, Germany. What were you doing for Deutsche Welle?
Deutsche Welle, I was strictly doing interviews. Most of my radio life has been interviewing, and I tried very hard to fit in as well as I could. And I got to meet a lot of very interesting people. One thing that was brought to my attention, and I got this lady on the air before she died, and she had a very big voice. And she started out nicely when she was talking with me, and she said that a lot of people were being gathered up and shot by the Nazis at that time, and Lord knows what they were being shot for. I never got to find that out. But she would go into a situation in any part of Germany when she heard there was going to be an execution, and she would walk up right up to the area where they were, and in this terribly loud voice, she told those people, the people with guns and the person that was commanding the gunners, and said, "All of you people, get out of here and write." And then she went, "Now!" And scared the heck out of these people. And she stopped several executions by doing this. And she got to be known quite well. So whenever she heard of an execution coming up, she would do the same thing, and they were frightened by her. I know this sounds crazy, but it's the truth. And she saved a lot of lives in her time. And I don't think that story has ever been told, but I heard it from the right people. And I just think a person like that with the guts to scare people... the Germans are very wonderful people, but they have funny little habits that, like all we all do, and some of them are very strange. Now, there's another thing about the Germans that's interesting. I was going up a one-way street in one of the towns in Germany. Oh, by the way, I must tell you, I was driving a Messerschmitt. If you don't know what a Messerschmitt is, it's a tiny, tiny little thing you get in, and it's got a tiny little motor, but very loud. And that was my purpose, to have a car. I was too afraid of the roads over there that I would get in trouble because I didn't know all the signs that said, do this, go there, you know. So I stopped because a German policeman asked me to stop. And he said, "Do you know you're going up a one-way street?" And I said, "Oh, my goodness. Oh," I said, "gosh, I'm terribly sorry. And I certainly will turn this Messerschmitt around and move around and get in the right road." And they're very pleased when you recognize the fact that they are police and that you did the right thing. So that was my way of keeping out of trouble on the roads.
You know, but you only stayed at Deutsche Welle for 2 years. Was that just because you had enough and you wanted to move on?
No, I think the real reason I left Germany after the 2 year period was the fact that there was a tremendous amount of Russian influence in Germany, what was East Germany, and a lot of medical things were coming from the Russians. I didn't like the way things were turning out, and I had a feeling that there might be future problems between Russia and Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this is the time I think I'm going to bounce out. And I did.
So after you left and went back to the U.S., did you take some time off, or did you go right back into radio again?
You said it. Right back into radio again. You know, once you get stuck in this radio game, it's very hard to get out of it. And besides, I went to Florida very soon afterwards. As a matter of fact, I found a paper here in one of my closets, and it was written so long ago that I think if I picked up this paper and shook it, it would fall apart because it's so old. I thought I might give you an idea of what was going on with me. If you can take it, I'm going to read it to you.
Sure, go ahead.
Are you ready? All right. Born July 25, 1928 in Orange, New Jersey. Bruce, that's me, had a head start on most people in the broadcasting profession, thanks to his radio ham father, W2's Charlie Obotaire, who was on the air for some 50 years broadcasting along America's East Coast, and whose call letters were also K4HTE before his death in Florida. I was Mike's side at age 6 months, babbling as any infant would, as he would operate on 2, 10, 20, and 80 meters. He went through a normal school period, graduating, that's me, from Columbia High School, 1947. I was a lousy student in South Orange, New Jersey. A couple of months of driving a local taxi, oh, that's a scream, too, and working at a gas station took place before Parsons, that's me, joined Uncle Sam's Army, where he trained as a bandsman. He played in two Army division bands, and was in Korea 1 month after the police action began. Upon his return to the USA, he was offered a scholarship at Sam Houston University, Texas, played with the university band, but turned down the scholarship, deciding instead to return to New Jersey, where after a brief time, he attended the School of Radio Technique in New York City. Like many in the business, Parsons was around the country before signing contracts to broadcast internationally for both the Voice of Germany as a producer and the Dutch World Broadcasting System, Radio Nederland, in Holland. This sounded exciting. Total years of broadcasting experience, approximately 38 years. With the Voice of Germany, Deutsche Welle, Parsons was involved in propaganda production aimed at East Germany to sort of bring them down in terms of their thoughts and so forth. And the music was horrible, and we broadcast things that would cause unhappiness in East Germany. It worked out pretty well. Because after a while, through very careful maneuvering, I was able to get into East Germany when it was still East Germany and got to talk to people over there to find out whether we were getting through and whether they had any comments. So that worked out well. I did that for about a year, and I think they were pretty sick of me by that time. And what can I say? As a producer... with the Dutch World Broadcasting System. Total years of broadcasting experience, quite a bit. With the Voice of Germany, Deutsche Welle, I was involved in, as I mentioned, that propaganda, and that was my game there. I was in Holland for 14 years on a two-year contract, as I mentioned to you earlier. Parsons returned to America, went directly to Florida, where after working at several stations as a disc jockey and talk show host, he joined WAMR in Venice. He is also a songwriter. Oh, yes, I am, by the way. And before we break up, I'm going to sing that song for you that never got published, and I'll tell you why. Anyway, I'm single. I love animals with a passion. Had two cats and have two cats now. Loves ping pong, I do, and pool, I'm rather good at it. He appeared in several motion pictures, including Jacques Tati's film, Traffic, directed internationally, and a local film, Traffic, distributed internationally, a film done in Memphis and Sarasota called Press Kit. That's quite something. Update WENG Radio Englewood, January 87. I did a six-hour show Monday through Friday. And getting back now for a second to our place in Holland, mm-hmm. I had two shows that were running for quite a few years. One was... Parsons Penthouse, and the other was Cloud Nine, and we got a lot of mail on those shows. So there you are.
You know what's interesting? You mentioned.
Did I put you to sleep?
No. There's something, you know, quite interesting that you mentioned, and it's something that I sometimes find it difficult to explain to people who, let's say, don't work in radio, but usually people that start off at a very young age, this is the thing that you end up doing your entire life. It's almost like it's not like a career that you planned. It's just that you just start doing it.
Right. You do. Right.
But I mean, over the years, I mean, have you ever thought, you know, I wish I'd done something else. Is there anything else out there that you wish that you'd done?
Not for a minute. Not for a minute. I was very lucky. I had the greatest experiences in this game that we play, and I have no regrets whatsoever. I had a chance. One of the things I also did for Radio Nederland was I interviewed some of the most interesting people I've ever met. Mary Tyler Moore. She gives a normal interview, nothing exciting, but she's a very lovely lady. Originally, of course, her partner was Dick Van Dyke, as you recall. Ella Fitzgerald, I had to run around all over Amsterdam in order to get an interview with her. Danny Kaye, I interviewed 7 times in 14 years time. And Steve, the comedian he's no longer alive.
Steve Allen?
Steve Allen, right. Oh, what a guy he is.
Also, a great Wilson. Steve Allen was also a great songwriter.
Oh, yeah, I know that. And I of course, the interview with him was by telephone, so it wasn't one of my better interviews because telephones, you know, are a little... It seems like a loudspeaker, you know. So, I had to put up with that. But if you ever talk to UB Blake, who wrote "I'm Just Wild About Harry," he was a master of a interviewer, interviewee, and he gave me. I have recordings of all these things. But getting back for a second to Helen O'Connell, loved her to death. K-Star and Kay Ballard were two very happy singers. And this, I got to tell you, Bud Freeman, I might have told you this when we did that dry, not recorded conversation together. Bud Freeman, a saxophone player, he was a master with tenor saxophone. And he invited me to come over and interview him at a restaurant, and he thought I was Dutch. And he was eating his breakfast. He had a big breakfast he was eating. He ate it all the way through my interview, which was okay with me because the guy was hungry. And all of a sudden he said, you are Dutch, aren't you? And I said, no, I'm not. I speak English. I come from the States. He was very embarrassed about that. He apologized, but he was a marvel to interview. His English was beyond excellent, and he told a lot of funny stories about the way he was playing a lot in Europe at that time. He passed away as well, and I talked to Count Basie, and that. Well, I talked to so many people. Speaking of people. It was Cliphouse, Harry Cliphouse. Remember him?
Yes, I remember that name.
Yeah, and his brother was James Cliphouse. And, of course, Tom was so interesting because he was capable of... He had a sense of humor that was beyond belief. And the nice things he said about you, by the way, that he wrote to me... Ooh, man, you'd be so interested to hear about that.
Thank you very much for taking... Yes?
I just wanted to say that I hope people that haven't done so yet will have a chance to listen to your programming where you're located. and sending out to the whole world. I hope they'll be tuning in too, because this is a new version of a same show. That's what I think of it as. Here they are with you at the helm in terms of broadcasting, and the fact that you're where you are. And you are showing again what Radio Nederland sounded like to a degree years ago. And after all, Radio Nederland's history goes way, way back.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden they tumbled, and that was the end of that game, you know, for them.
Well, hopefully we'll keep...
I've enjoyed very much meeting you for the first time on the air, and I do hope sometime we will bump into one another some way. Who knows?
Well, the next time I, as they say, cross over the pond to visit the alligators in Florida...
You'll love them. I got three that once in a while come up on my backyard to sun. That's when I'm deep in the house looking through a closed window to see where they're going to go next.
Are you looking at the alligators thinking, ooh, I can make some shoes?
Yeah, you got it.
Well, Bruce, look, thank you very much for taking some time out today. It's very nice to talk to you, and I'm sure that a lot of listeners who remembered you from Radio Netherlands will also have had a kick out of this. So I just want to finally say it again. Yes, Bruce Parsons is alive. He was with us here today. Bruce, do you want to say anything to anybody?
Wonderful. And I'll be listening to you myself.
Thank you, Bruce.
Bye-bye now. Thanks for everything.
So I'm down, and so I'm out, but so are many others. So I feel like trying to hide my head beneath these covers. Life is like the seasons. After winter comes the spring. So I'll keep this smile a while and see what tomorrow brings. I've been told, and I believe, life is meant for living. And even when my chips are low, there's still some left for giving. I've been many places, maybe not as far as you. So I think I'll stay a while and see if some dreams come true. There isn't much that I have learned through all my foolish years, except that life keeps running in cycles. First there's laughter, then those tears. But I'll keep my head up high, although I'm kinda tired. My gal just up and left last week, Friday I got fired. You know, it's almost funny, but things can't get worse than now. So I'll keep on trying to sing, but please, just don't ask me now.
Frank Sinatra with Cycles, and before that, my interview with Bruce Parsons, who passed away at age 86 on June the 24th. You're listening to Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Now, if you want to hear about more on Bruce Parsons, if you tune in this weekend to Wavescan on Adventist World Radio, there's a small feature that I did for that program. So if you have a chance, do check it out. You can probably also download the show from their website after transmission. Now, next week on the show, I promise, unless something happens that's out of our control, we will start bringing you part one of our four-part program, docudrama that is, called Tales of Dutch Formosa. Now, those who tune into the program on a regular basis may know that we brought the show to you last year, and since it is summertime, it's a nice little summer feature that we can do, you know, for you. Now, we do have some special programs coming up, and that's because it is holiday time or vacation time. So the last week of July, we have some special PCJ programs coming up for you. And you can find the details through the PCJ Radio International Facebook page. And also, that information will be posted at our website. At the end of September, the beginning of October, I will be in the Netherlands and in Germany. And we also are going to have a couple of special Happy Stations that will be produced during that two-week period, but they won't air until I return to Taiwan. One of the shows will be, well, with Todd Meyer. Yes, we're going to do something with Tom. And also, we're going to be doing one show from Berlin, Germany. And that's coming up in October. So, we have some fun things coming up for you in the future. Anyway, time for more music again. And we're going to listen next to Lou Reed from a new compilation called New York City Man, with the song that is so connected with him. In fact, he even said it himself that he wished that song would go away, but it was the most requested song that he had for concerts and even at intimate concerts. Yeah, I think you know what it is. Take a Walk on the Wild Side.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked away across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. Candy came from out on the island. In the back room she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go doot 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 doot. Little Joe never once gave it away. Everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo. You should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey, sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. All right. Ha. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was James Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that patch. I said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, doot, 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 doot.
Lou Reed and a song that was connected with him for many years. It's one of his own songs, actually. Take a Walk on the Wild Side. And I remember the first time I heard that, there was one radio station I used to listen to many, many years ago. And on their morning show, it was a song that they played every Thursday. For some reason, every Thursday at 7:35 a.m., it was a song that they played. This song. Who knows why they chose that one to play it on Thursdays at 7:35. But anyway, we've come to the end of this week's program. If you wish to contact us, our email address is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. That's pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. We're going to end today with my good buddy George Evans from his release Mood Swing. It features a lot of standards like Devil May Care, Indian Summer, Autumn Nocturne, Fun to Be Fooled, Whisper Not, and the one we're going to listen to right now, Someone to Light Up My Life. So on behalf of everyone at PCJ Radio International, I'm Keith Pelham, wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
Go on your way with a cloudless blue sky above. May all your days be a wonderful song of love. Open your arms and sing of all the hidden hopes you'll ever treasure, and live out your life in peace. Where shall I look for the love to replace you? A someone to light up my life. Someone with strange little ways, eyes like a blue autumn haze. Someone with your laughing style and a smile that I know will keep haunting me endlessly. Sometimes in stars or the swift flight of seabirds, I capture a moment of you. That's why I walk all alone, searching for something unknown, searching for something or someone to light up my life. Strange little ways, eyes like a blue autumn haze, someone with your laughing style and a smile that I know will keep haunting me. Capture a moment of you, and that's why I walk all alone, searching for something unknown, searching for something or someone to light up my love. With a cloudless blue sky above, may all your days be a wonderful song of love, and live out your life. Hey.